need them. I just wanted to come in on the back of that whole sort of jumping into the water, really, and or receiving the water, because, as you know, as many of you will know, we love hill walking, and something particularly over the last few years that I've really tried to make every opportunity, grab every opportunity that I have, is when we're out and it's warm enough, is to actually find a lochan or a small stream or something like that that's got enough water to actually get in the water. I mean, we've always sort of over the years tended to get to a certain point of a walk and get the boots off and shove your feet in a burn sort of thing, but I've sort of taken that to the next level where I can really when it's a nice enough day. And as you can imagine, if you've been walking up a hill and getting all hot and sweaty and clammy and all that sort of thing, to actually then get into a mountain river or a lochan sort of halfway up a mountain is just such a refreshing experience. And we were out walking, what was it, about 10 days ago, something like that, and around the Rannoch Station sort of area, and there was a bit of water there where you could sort of just sit in, and it was a bit like sitting in a bath, really, apart from about sort of 30 degrees cooler. It was like one of those infinity pools almost, really, but it was just really just lovely experience just to sit in that water and just be refreshed from a hot and sweaty walk, you know. And and just this is relevant, of course, to the fact that actually our lives, we get hot, sweaty, clammy, weary, tired. And it's amazing how refreshing it can be to actually get that fresh water, just whether it's just on our feet or whether it's on our whole body, just actually enjoying that freshness. And so often we need that from life. And so it was a great reminder this morning to get that, to sort of get that refreshing from God. And so that's nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I felt that it was helpful just to sort of dig that one in. And I need that reminder, really, because I felt quite weary and tired recently. It's a bit hard to distinguish. I had COVID about a month ago, something like that. It was just after we came back from a holiday. It was about a month ago. And so when you're sort of feeling a bit weary and tired, you're thinking, is this after effects of COVID, or is this just life, or is this a... But whatever it is, in a way, who cares what it is? We need that refreshing. And it's not just a physical thing, isn't it? We need a refreshing of our soul. There's a weariness that can come upon us, and we all need that refreshing from God. And so it's good to be reminded of that this morning. I also feel that what I am going to be speaking about this morning, as has been alluded to already, which is a matter of prayer. And particularly gathering together to pray. This is something which, again, this is no big revelation to any of us, is it? But how important it is to gather together to pray. And so it's a bit like a reminder that actually we need to do this, because it's good for our soul, it's good for us, and it's a powerful and effective weapon that we have. So the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to be speaking on prayer. I believe Tom is speaking next week, and about another topic related to prayer. But I've been given the privilege to speak about this area of actually how important it is to gather together to pray. And so in order to do that, I want to read a passage, first of all, from Acts 4. I don't know how this is going to work with the... I can see. It's amazing. Also need the words, which are on here. They're behind me as well. I'll read it from here just so I make sure I know where I am. Okay, so it's from Acts 4. I'm going to read from verses 23 to 31. And it says there, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported to that what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. It's all very well having glasses, but you need to be able to speak clearly and not get tongue-tied as well, don't you? And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. If ever you doubted the power of gathering together to pray, I think that there in Acts is brilliant evidence of the power and the effectiveness of gathering together to pray. And so, let me right at the start, if you ever doubt whether it's of powerful to get together to prayer, let's consider that. I'm getting quite hot here. Excuse me. Hopefully this won't mess up the microphone. But okay. Now, I just wanted to reveal something here as well that might be slightly controversial amongst this audience, but there you go. Does anybody recognize what this T-shirt is? Yeah. It's green. Thank you. Does anybody recognize it? It's from the 100 cricket thing. It's for the team called Southern Brave, who I've adopted as my team that I'm supporting. See, I told you this would be controversial. As if it wasn't bad enough that it was 100, but I've picked a Southern team as well. Well, if it's any consolation, Julia, your team is the Northern Superchargers. There you go, who are based at Headingley, so there's some redemption there. Jacob's picked the Manchester Originals, is it? Yep. So we watched it last year and we loved it. And now let me just say, I am a cricketer. Okay. Well, I was a cricketer. I used to play cricket. He doubts it, but if you want to doubt it, you can look back in the annals of history and see that I once opened for the Guernsey Under 16 11. Okay. So, and note I say opened. So I'm out of the Geoffrey Boycott School of Cricket because I was an opener, okay? I only ever hit 1 6 in my life. In my cricket history, I only ever hit 1 6. I did score a century then as well, which I'm very proud of, but that was towards the end of my cricketing career. So I am a cricketer, and yet I love the 100 cricket, okay? Because I will also watch a test match. Although some of these test matches seem to get shortened these days. I thought they were supposed to last for 5 days. What happened there? Anyway, this is far too much controversy for one Sunday morning. Okay, so we'll stick to the 100 because the other forms of cricket are not very popular in England just now. And what the 100 has done is it's brought cricket to a lot more people, and there are people who are watching cricket and enjoying cricket who had no idea before what a sweep shot was, who had no idea what a forward defensive was, although you don't tend to see those in the 100, but they didn't even realize perhaps that there was a fours and sixes, but it's brought cricket to a whole new generation. Now this is relevant, okay, this is relevant to my point here. For some people, they think that prayer meetings are like a cricket test match. Okay, they go on far too long, perhaps, they think. In some cases, they finish short because things didn't quite go as planned. By the way, England lost in 3 days this week, in case you didn't catch that bit of news. To South Africa, which is more popular in some parts of our congregation than the other. And prayer meetings are not for the elite. Prayer meetings are not just for the purists, okay? And Jesus himself highlighted this, because one of the things that he pointed out was as he was going along, he saw the Pharisees supposedly praying, but they were just using loads and loads and loads of words. And there wasn't the impression, or the impression we get is that there wasn't the heart in it. But Jesus said, that's not what prayer is about. Prayer is about us in relationship with God. And particularly as we come together in corporate prayer, it's us being together to bring what to come close to God, to draw close to God, receive from him, give back to him, and also cry out to him. And one of the things that we see here in Acts 4 is, I think, is actually a very good example of what Jesus taught his disciples. Because when we talk about the Lord's Prayer, or whatever you want to call that, the model prayer, whatever that Jesus gave, and actually we'll just read that so I can relate to it and compare the two. So that's in Matthew, I'll read it from there so that I don't have to find it there. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, always back. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts, or forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some sort of part, some translations carry on after that, as we all know. But there's, you can see the pattern, and we've talked about this many times in the past, the pattern that there is, where as we come to pray, this is Jesus saying, when you come to pray. Now, the reason why I wanted to point this out is because this is the we see the same pattern in Acts 4, actually. If you look at that, you'll see how it's worship. It's declaring to God who he is. It's thanking God. It's declaring his greatness. And then it's not until about two-thirds of the way through that that they actually bring their what it is that's really on their heart is the fact that they're that they need boldness to go out and carry on being bold for Jesus. And so we see that same pattern in from Jesus's example here, where he's talking about sort of glorifying God. It's all Godward. It's all sort of honoring him. It's thanking him. It's declaring him. And it's only really as you're getting almost towards the end, as you bring in that sort of, actually, these are the things that we're facing. So in the light of your greatness and your goodness towards us, we're trusting you, and we believe this is on your heart, that we can come to you and ask for you and bring our needs to you. And so you can see this, what Jesus set out here was completely universal, I think, in terms of prayer. Whether you're praying on your own or whether you're praying in a group of people, if you're praying with many, many thousands of people, I think that for me, the pattern is still the same. Because it always, first and foremost, we need to come to that place of thankfulness, of gratefulness, of declaring his greatness. Because I think I have been in prayer meetings in the past, long time ago, where there's a list, and you work your way through the list, and it's like your shopping to-do list. You go around Tesco's and, yep, got that on your app or whatever it is. And prayer sometimes gets sort of taken to that. But actually, for me, it always, and I think we do model this, generally speaking, well, probably all the time, actually, I think, when we pray together as a in different ways, that we focus on Jesus. That's why often prayer meetings might start with a worship song or scripture or poem, or it can be any sorts of thing, can't it? But it's to help us to focus on Jesus, so that as we come, we're not focused on the problem first and foremost, but we're focused on the solution. We're focused on the provider. We're focused on the one who can make a difference. And it's not just about fixing our shopping list. And so there's, as we come together to pray, sort of jumping back to Acts, and in verses 24 through to 28, this isn't just padding. Where it's talking about sort of the historical sort of thing, the way that Jesus has been powerful, the way that he's brought his people down through parts of the Old Testament. It's not padding. It's not just, and similarly, when we sing a worship song at the start of worship, at the start of a prayer meeting, it's not about padding. It's not about filling up a bit of time at the beginning. It's to help us remember who we're coming to. It's help us focus on him. And so there's always I believe there should always be that declaration at the start of prayer. As we get together, there's a declaration of who God is, of his goodness. That's really important, isn't it? Remind ourselves who he is. That he is good. And we talk about, and like Jesus himself, someone said to him once, good teacher, and he said, don't call me good. And he wanted to emphasize the fact that actually good isn't some weak, wishy-washy word, oh, that's a good person sort of thing, doing good things. Actually, there's something powerful in that. God is good, and that is a powerful statement that actually he is for us. He always wants our good. And so that's important to remember. We declare who he is. We declare his goodness and what he has done as well. It's really powerful to remember the ways God has blessed us in the past. And I think this is, we've got a great example of this, because I was thinking as we come in a couple of, sort of in what, 8 days' time to our next prayer week, going back, I think it was probably 2 prayer times, prayer weeks, we started off the week praying for the city, praying for Perth. Because I think, if I remember rightly, at that time, 2 of the key employers had just announced that they were going to be just moving a lot of jobs away from the city and moving them to other parts of the UK. And we came and we prayed together and we sought God. And we felt, I was part of this, and I felt a rise of faith that actually God was going to do something big here. And so we were praying for other businesses to sort of actually expand and grow, and new entrepreneurs to come into the area and things like that. And actually, if you look at what's happened since that time, the whole thing has turned around. And so even those businesses, and Jacob started a new job at SSE just this week. And so OVO, that had taken over the sort of customer service side of the sort of deliverance to the customer side of SSE, they are probably moving a load of jobs away. But actually SSE itself, which has a big base in Perth, are actually expanding massively. And they're going into parts of Europe and that. But Perth is a really important hub for that, I believe, from the they're not going anywhere. And so even that we see, and the other one was the bus company, Stagecoach, had announced that they were going to sort of move a load of, they were going to merge, and that would take away that big base from Perth. But then subsequently to that, I lost track of where that we are with that. But at last I heard they'd pulled out of that deal, and they'd made a different deal that meant that they would actually keep their base in Perth. And then we see other important businesses moving to Perth as well, only from sort of within Perthshire, from Creef to Perth. Wiltshire Foods moving into Inverailman now as well. And so even in our midst, we see a couple of examples of actually how God is bringing jobs into Perth. Now, obviously, we're for Perthshire and beyond into Scotland as well, but it's great to see how what looked like a crisis coming to in terms of jobs in Perth particularly, actually we see a change. And it's great to remind ourselves as we come to pray, even as recent as that, how God, we got involved, and we were able to feel that raise of faith that actually God can, where there seems to be sort of things going downhill, God can turn these things around. So we can come, remind ourselves of those things, and that can help stir our faith. So this passage in Acts 4 is a great example for us to follow. And so similarly, in Acts 4, we see how God responded. So as they prayed for boldness, and having prayed, God answered. They were filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, the one whom Jesus had promised. So if you remember, Jesus had promised them that the Holy Spirit would be with them. He would be their comforter. And so he answers their prayer that they made in the way that he had promised. So we can remember his promises, how he's promised to do us good and not to harm us. And also in this case, he's promised to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And that is a promise for us too. So whatever else happens as we come together to pray, I believe that God actually just wants to refresh us and fill us with his Holy Spirit. Because the disciples, they prayed for boldness. If you see that, if you look at the detail of that passage, they prayed for boldness. What did Jesus give them? He gave them the Holy Spirit. Yes. And I believe in some ways, whenever we come to pray, the Holy Spirit is actually always the answer. At least always part of the answer in that sense. And so we should expect, and we should come, as we come to prayer meetings, we should come with anticipation of, I don't know what else is going to happen this evening or this morning or wherever it is, But I know that I am going to be filled with his Holy Spirit as we come to God, as we give thanks and praise and honor and glory to him. Whatever we're asking for, we shall be filled. We'll be filled. We'll be refreshed. It'll be like getting in that water and getting refreshed. So how can we learn? What else can we learn from this as we gather to pray? Like I said, Jesus' teaching on prayer is not just for the individuals, but it was also as we gather together. And so we can see that in, there's a few examples in Acts of how they came together, and they give a good sort of a pattern of how they prayed as they come together. It is something that we get a bit detail of as how, as they gathered together, they prayed and the sort of things that they were praying about. And so we can see those examples as we've already looked at in Acts 4. So it begins with praise, thanks and worship. And these are not in any way empty words, but to honor Jesus and pray from a point of belief and trusting and declaring our trust in him. That pattern that Jesus gave is for us as we come together as a group, and it always begins with praise, thanks and worship. And then their prayers were full of faith as well. We see this, and their faith was fueled by that worship, I believe. And so when we remind ourselves who he is, faith does rise. And that faith that he's listening, that he will hear our prayers, he's done it before. We know that he's going to do it now as well. And I don't know about you, but I've had many experiences as we've come to pray together. At the start of the prayer, I might have felt like, I'm going to try, but I'm not sure how much faith I've got here. I'm not sure how much, realistically, do I really think this can change? But then as you begin to worship, as you begin to give thanks, as you begin to remember the way that Jesus has answered our prayers in the past, that faith begins to stir. And then even actually as you're speaking out the words, I find, as you start to pray, that faith just is like it ignites. And it doesn't always happen like this, of course. But actually, I find that often does happen. If we allow God to fill us as we pray, as we grab hold of him, then faith rises in us. And interestingly, just a point about faith here. I think it is something that is in a way always in us, and it is stirred. But I think as we come to pray, there's been examples in quite a few examples when I've found that actually it's almost like you're given a specific lump of faith for a specific thing you're praying for. And I felt that when we were praying for the businesses in Perth, actually, on that evening. It was like you've been given this a lump of faith that actually you could use up to really seek God and cry out to God. And you kind of prayed in a way that you had an assurance that I'm not sure quite where to place that word, but you don't always have that assurance that as you're praying. Let's be real. When you pray, you don't always have an assurance that you're being heard, and you don't always have an assurance that it's going to be answered. But sometimes you really sort of, do you know what? I'm praying here, and I really feel like I've got real faith that this is going to happen. And I think when you get those occasions, we really need to press into that and really go for it. Because I think Jesus always answers prayer, okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying here. I believe he always hears us. I believe he always answers, not always necessarily in the way we expect. But I think there are particular times where there is a particular anointing on something that we're praying for, and a particular heart that God puts in us, and we really need to press into that. And I think the reason why it's particularly relevant talking in the context of gathering together is because when we gather together, say there's eight of us, for argument's sake, if one person, whether it's online or in person, if one person has that rise of faith, that can just, I think, affect all of us. And I've known that. When somebody in the group, you can see on them that there's this extra oomph about their prayers, and it causes your spirit to rise. And you think, do you know what? They've really got faith for that. I can grab hold of that as well. And so that is part of the reason why it's so important that we gather together in prayer, because actually that then, I think I'm jumping ahead in my notes then, but I don't mind. Then it affects our individual prayer lives as well. Because having been in that experience of having that extra rise of faith for that thing, it then affects as you pray for that thing, maybe on your own a couple of days later or whatever, there's a, do you know what, I've really got faith for this. We were praying for that the other night and I felt that it was really a breakthrough in faith, and I want to sort of keep going with that. And so that doesn't just affect you in a prayer meeting of itself, but it actually can really help and provoke our individual prayer as well. And I haven't got verse and chapter and verse for that right on me right now, but I'm telling you, I feel that in experience, so I think it's a relevant thing to chuck out there. And I believe it's part of us being together. It's because it does say, as we haven't got to the One Another series yet, have we? We keep talking about doing a One Another series of preaching, but I don't think we've got there yet. But I think stir one another up. And I think that's what we do when we come to pray together. We do, we stir one another up. And there's other one another's as well, but that stirring one another up, and that stirs up faith in us for that moment, but also going forwards as well, I believe. So the presence of Jesus, stirring one another up, encouraging one another, bringing faith to one another, but and also the prophetic. The prophetic is a really important part as we come together as well. And because we all bring our different giftings, we all bring our different way we hear God, we all bring our different giftings to, as we come together. And those who, and any one of us, it says there are prophets, but it says that all can prophesy. So we can all hear what Jesus is saying to us as a group together. And when we come together to pray, is often a context in which we experience that as we're praying for something. There may be a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or specifically a prophetic thing, but they kind of all come a bit under the banner of prophecy, don't they? But it's a God speaking to us and bringing his angle on what we're praying for. And then we can then grab hold of that even more so as we know the heart of God in the circumstance that we're praying for. So yeah, there's those particularly four things that I wanted to point out, the importance of praying together. It's the presence of Jesus as we gather together, because there's that most, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, isn't there, in Matthew 18:20, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Now, there's some ways that I've never quite fully grasped hold of that, because I think, well, actually, Jesus is with me all the time, isn't he? Because I believe that Jesus is with me all the time. And yet, he says, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm there. And so it's actually, it must mean something a bit more than just Jesus is with me as he's with me all the time. I do believe that as we gather together, that God is with us in an extra special, in an extra sort of significant and an extra powerful way. And so, excuse me, as we gather together to pray, particularly, I think, the presence of Jesus we know will be with us, because he's promised that it will be. So the presence of Jesus stirring one another up is an opportunity for the prophetic to stir us. And we can actually, through our experience together, that can then give fresh faith and fresh ideas to our prayer as we, in our individual lives. Okay, we're getting towards wounding up now. But as I was thinking about this morning, and I have actually got something for prayer. I don't know. Did you have a specific?
Yeah,
you
want us to pray.
Yeah, I think if we, yeah, I think as I was coming to this morning, I was thinking I wasn't particularly thinking that there was something specific that as we come together at the end after I've spoken, that would be relevant for prayer. But actually, as I was thinking about it during worship, and I think has just been highlighted as well through the words that were brought about the refreshing, and that is, I believe there is a weariness. I've felt it, a sort of weariness, whether it's a weary, tired, sort of a mixture of them. But I believe that's actually something that we can pray for, that it would lift I think there is, because I think it's something that a lot of people have experienced. I don't think I'm alone in in experiencing that. And you kind of think over these summer months, and so you should be being refreshed, and you should be you've been outside a lot. You should be feeling sort of ready to go after your holidays or whatever. But I think there is a weariness, and I do believe that that's something that we can sort of perhaps stand together and really pray that God would come. You can pray for yourself, you can pray for us as a people, you can, if there's particular people you know that are suffering, maybe we can bring that to God. Is that okay? Or do you want to give us any more guidance on that, or do we go with that? Okay, so let's stand. Lord Jesus, we just come to you, and we know there's been all sorts of stuff going on, and there is many things going on in this world and in this area at the moment, with the whole sort of aftermath of COVID, and some in some ways still the effects of that, and still ongoing of that, but also then with the whole financial and economic questions, and many questions of war even. And Lord Jesus, we come to you and we pray for your refreshing. Lord, we pray, and we know that as we come and we pray, that you've promised your Holy Spirit to us. And Lord, we know that that is the answer more than anything else to our weariness, that we be refreshed by a fresh infilling of your Spirit. And so that's what we ask for now, Lord Jesus, that you would come afresh amongst each one of us, whether we're feeling great, whether we're feeling weary, or whether we're feeling terrible, no matter where we are on the scale, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would come upon each one of us and refresh us, fill us afresh with your power, with your Holy Spirit, that we might be able to walk strong, that we would not walk with our head held low, but rather we would walk strong, and we would be able to press through in areas where we need to press through. We would be able to be strong where we need to be strong. Father, we just want to be vulnerable to you, Lord Jesus. And we know that you say when we are weak, you are strong. And Father, we acknowledge our weakness. We acknowledge our weakness in many areas. And Father, we pray that you would bring your strength and your empowering. Amen.